dossier. I don't know how to say it. D-O-S-S-I-E-R. Whatever that word is. Dossier. Dossier. I don't know what it is, but the point is...
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Spectacular Show! Today, the thrilling conclusion of Indie Video Game Month, a review and discussion of Askisoft's Katana Zero, and your host, John O'Connor!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spectacular Show. And welcome to the conclusion of Indie Video Game Month. I have had so much fun this month. I've absolutely loved playing these games and really enjoyed discussing them with my guests. Making the comedic portions of the show was also very fun. It's been a great month overall. It's been a great month to be back. Now today, as you can probably see from the timer on your podcast app, our episode's a little shorter than normal. Unfortunately, my final guest for the month was unable to participate. And the game I had lined up to talk about, I thought it would be a much cooler game to talk about with two people. So I pulled an audible, and I ended up playing a different game right at the last second, which, that's fine. I'm happy too. I love playing video games, so that was no problem. But I am producing the episode kind of right down to the wire here, so I apologize for the brevity, but we're going to end Indie Video Game Month on a very fun and fast note, and the game we're going to discuss, the game I played, and it is one that I would very highly recommend for you to play as well. And that game is Askisoft's Katana Zero.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Okay, guys, this is just a heads up that we will be talking about the game in depth. So if you haven't played the game yet and you're worried about having things ruined for you, I just want to let you know, maybe pause this and come back when you are ready. Otherwise, we're going to dig right in. We're going to talk extensively about the game right now. Now, if you've never heard of this game, played this game, straight off Wikipedia, Katana Zero is a 2D action platform video game developed by Askisoft. I'm sorry if I'm saying that incorrectly. And published by Devolver Digital. And it's available on for Microsoft Windows, Mac, OS, and Nintendo Switch. Now, basically the game, it's like a left to right for the most part. Sometimes it's right to left side scroller, and you control this little samurai character, and you run through the screens, and you have a katana blade, and you can slash your enemies, you can duck, you can, you know, wall jump, you can do all of these cool things, but the character has these very cool abilities, one of which is to slow down time. You can just slow down time, or you can like move into this like bullet time where you slow down time, so that way if somebody shoots a bullet at you, you can use your sword to like swipe and send the bullet flying back at them. It's really awesome. But the thing is, there's no health bar. There are no, you know, like there's no health bar in the game, so the instant you get hit in the game, you die, and it's got this cool effect where every time you die, it like rewinds like you're rewinding a VHS tape, like, and it skips back to the beginning and you have to play again. You have to play that screen again, I should say. There are also like these environmental traps you can use, like you all throughout the game you find, you know, butcher cleavers or bottles or the heads of statues, all sorts of stuff. You can find Molotov cocktails and throw them and hit oil barrels, and that'll blow stuff up. And you can also, I think the other thing you can do is you can roll, and while you are rolling, you can't be hit. So it's really fun. It's a really slick and smooth game. I loved it, and the opening of the game is really cool. It's like very cinematic. You're basically sent into this laboratory. So you start outside and it's raining and you hear like a, you see one guard with a gun and he's standing there and all of a sudden you hear like, you know, you hear somebody dying. And then all of a sudden, Subject Zero, the character you play, you know, because the guy kind of looks around like, what the hell's going on? And he dashes in onto the screen and he like slices the guy, cuts him right down. And it's really cool to, you're like infiltrating this, basically this laboratory where you're going to rescue a scientist. And on the way there, you're getting these phone calls like, you know, make sure you get the you know, the employer wants the target removed safely. And he, you know, make sure he gets removed alive and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know, the overall story of the game is like you're this, apparently this assassin, you're dashing through these levels, you're killing these guys, you save the scientist in the first level, right? And after that, you save him and you go to take him out, and when you take him out of the place, all of a sudden he's got this collar that like beep, 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 and the collar beeps and blows up, and then his head explodes and falls off. And you're like, oh shit, the guy, the subject just died, you know? And then there's a little cut down to the lower part of the screen, and you see this, I don't know, he's a villain. And he's laughing, and he sends in some guards to kill you. And then you go from there to, like, a therapist's office. And you're in this therapist's office, and he's asking you questions. And what's cool about the game is, I don't know if you've ever played, like, an RPG or something. This isn't an RPG specifically, but if you've ever played a game where there's, like, a conversation system, you know, you can kind of choose your responses. So you'll get different responses out of different characters based on whichever way you reply to them. But oftentimes you also have the choice to interrupt them. There's like a little meter on the conversation thing. So you can kind of choose like to just talk over them and break up the conversation right away. But the therapist basically, you know, he asks you a bunch of questions and then he's like, okay, it's time for your medicine. And he walks over and he injects to you and then, you know, it's kind of like a, like the screen kind of shorts out. And then you take your stuff and you go home. And then you also get like a, every time you go to see the therapist, which I think you go, you see the therapist almost between almost every stage, basically. Every stage is divided into days, you know, 10 days left, 7 days left, whatever. And there are a couple of times you don't see the therapist. He leaves you like a note, like, I'm not here today, come back tomorrow or whatever, but almost every day you see him, and almost every day he injects you with this drug that, whatever it is, it, like, shorts out time. It's pretty crazy. But then there comes a point where, like, because you're having, the other thing is you're having these dreams. There's, like, recurring dream throughout the game where you are, it's a little hut, and there's a little kid playing in the hut, and then a shadowy figure crashes in and starts shooting everybody. And then in the next time you talk about it with the therapist, it's, you know, the little kid is in the room and now you see a scientist run in and he's warning you, but the language is all scrambled so you don't know really what it is. And then the shadowy figure comes back in and pop, 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 shoots everybody again. And you keep having this recurring dream over and over and you keep waking up in a cold sweat, you know. And it's pretty cool. On the way home from the therapist, you stop. There's like a little girl that lives next door. She kind of befriends you, and you kind of have this relationship with her as like a caretaker, because whoever her parent is obviously not around. So you're taking care of this little girl, you know, day to day. She's kind of there at your apartment, like checking in on you, and you kind of have these nice interactions with her. And it brings a lot of humanity to the character, who otherwise is basically a hired assassin who, you know, every time you go to a new stage, you get a dossier, I don't know how to say it, D-O-S-S-I-E-R, whatever that word is, I don't know what it is, but the point is, you get one of those things, and every time you get one from the therapist, it's like, pick up your mission on the way out, you get a dossier, I think, and you open it, and it's got a picture of your target, and it's got information about your target. And you're basically, throughout the game, you know, the first stage you're in, it's like a rescue mission. You're going in to rescue that scientist. But then basically the rest of the levels in the game, you're going in to, like, kill somebody. You're going in to assassinate somebody. And I have to say, the story overall, it was really much cooler than I anticipated. I figured this game would be like a kind of Ninja Gaiden. Not that Ninja Gaiden's story wasn't good, but I kind of figured this would be a game that predominantly relies on the gameplay, which the gameplay is amazing. It is so great. It's so slick. It's so fluid. It's so responsive. And that ability to like slow and manipulate time, it's really cool to dash into a room, do a roll past a couple of enemies, cue the time slow. So now you're in slow time and you like slice out one enemy, you turn around, you cut down the guys you just rolled past, you turn around because now someone's fired a bullet at you and you cut that, you send that back at them, and then you come out of the slow time and everybody's dead. Or you mix and match it together because, you know, the slow timer, it's a meter, right? So you've only got so much time to use this before it all goes away. And then it recharges for you, but it's really, really a cool mechanic in the game. And another thing that's a really cool part of the game is that aside from when you slow down time to deflect bullets back at your enemies, you can also just do that in real time. So if you time it just right and you and you have the skill, you can just dash into a room and bing, and like send a bullet flying back at the guy that just shot it at you with your sword, which is really, really fun. It's really cool. So I mean, obviously the game does, I don't want to say it relies on the gameplay. It doesn't need to rely on the gameplay. The gameplay speaks for itself, but the story, like I was saying, is just so much deeper and more involved than I thought. It was like a really cool, it had like a cinematic quality to it almost. It had a really enjoyable, almost like a psychological thriller or like a mystery, where the longer you played the game, the deeper the story got and the more involved it got and the more secrets you unveiled. And it's kind of cool because, like I said, every day you leave the therapist and you go home and, you know, sometimes you're running into that little girl and you have an interaction with her, but then you go in and you're in your apartment and every night you drink your herbal tea. You need to drink the herbal tea to fall asleep. If you don't drink it, you know, the character will tell you, I can't sleep without my tea. So you drink your tea, and I love it. The art style is very simple in the game. It's almost cartoony in a way, but it's really cool. It's really beautiful art style. But the tea is just like steaming on the counter, and it's this small little moment, but I love it. Like the Subject Zero, he picks up the tea and it's steaming and he goes, whew, and you see him blow the steam like off the top of the tea, and then he takes a sip, puts it down, and then he goes. And in the meanwhile, while that is happening every night, the news is reporting. You know, like the news is on in the background, and you just see like the, you don't see the screen, you just see the closed captions of like what is being said on the screen. So, you know, it's, you're reading the news report that the character is hearing, basically, which is really cool. And they start talking about the serial killer, the dragon. And if you are paying attention to the newscast, it's very clear that the dragon is you. You know, one of the reports, I'm making it up, but it's basically just like, and last night, 30 men were killed in a warehouse, and it's presumed that the serial killer, the dragon, and it's, well, you were at that warehouse, so you know it's you. But also, you don't know, you know, as you're playing the game in the beginning, you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You don't know why you're an assassin. You don't know why you're getting drugged up by this therapist or this, you know, whoever it is, a psychiatrist. You don't know. And I love it too, because a psychiatrist has such like a bougie, like a, he's in a three-piece suit and glasses, and there's a roaring fire in his office, and the office is red. You know, it's very luxurious. It's very like Park Avenue type of shit. So he's the exact opposite of you. You wander around in basically a kimono, or, you know, the joke in the story over and over is that it's a bathrobe, but you wander around in this bathrobe carrying your sword with you everywhere you go, which I think is fantastic. But yeah, then you get to the therapist and he's this ritzy, red-roomed kind of douchebag. And every mission you go to, you know, you're getting a phone call, and I always assume it's from him because he's the one giving you the orders. So every mission you're on, all of a sudden your phone will ring and he'll give you some instructions on what to do. One thing that's very cool is every stage you go to, the music starts up. And what's cool is every stage you go to, Subject Zero, the character you play, you can see him pull out and put in headphones before he goes. So it's like, it's kind of this like, he puts the music on in order to, and that music is what you're listening to as you play the game. But it's kind of, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Leon the Professional with Gene Reno and Natalie Portman and Gary Oldman. It's from like 94, I think, but it's about a hitman, and he befriends this young girl because she comes from a shitty place, and in the meanwhile, Gary Oldman plays this psycho cop, and, you know, Gary Oldman is, you know, they're doing a police raid, and he's taking drugs, and he's, you know, crashing into apartments and stuff, and he's just shooting everybody in the apartment, but before he goes into the apartment, he plugs in earphones that he can listen to. So he can, like, listen to Beethoven while he's in there laying waste to people. Anyway, this guy does the same thing. Every stage, he pulls out earphones and he plugs them in his ears to put music on so he can listen to music while he's dashing through and, like, laying waste to 50 or 100 armed bad guys. It's pretty badass stuff. So you go to save the scientist. The scientist obviously gets blown up. Next, you get sent to kill a DJ, DJ Electrohead, and that's a pretty cool stage because you're in a big dance club. So there are, it's kind of ridiculous. There are guys with like machine guns in the dance club, just walking around like on patrol while everybody's dancing. But you use in this game, you use stealth a lot, so you dash around and kind of hide in a dark place, and then dash around and hide in a dark place, that kind of a thing. And in that DJ Electrohead stage, you've got to dash around and fight, but you also have to use stealth to the best of your ability. That way you can get through the stage without causing too many problems. There's one, one of the next stages, you go to a prison. You got to sneak into a prison, and I think you're not supposed to kill anybody, but you go, and turns out your target's already dead, and then the SWAT team shows up, so you've got to sneak out. And then the guy that killed the V, that's his name, the guy that killed the scientist in the first stage, V, he gives a tape to the young girl that lives next door. She gives it to you. You watch it, and it shows, you know, in the every night you see your neighbors next door, and you can hear their music. They're in there partying in a dark apartment. So the tape that V gives the girl to give to you, you watch the tape, and then it shows this guy V like torturing and killing your neighbors. It's like, oh Jesus, this guy's a psycho. And then when he sees you, he tries to act like he's doing you a favor, you know, like, oh, you should be happy. I killed them. Those guys were assholes. Then I think it's like the next day you go to the psych's office, but the office is closed. So then all of a sudden this giant Hummer limo picks you up, and it's V, and he's got like women in the limo, and he's like doing lines, and he's a thug. He's just trying to tell you, you know, I'm badass. Like, we should team up. And then of course you turn him down. And then I think like you end up going to try to kill him or something. But then you're interrupted by this other samurai chick, Snow. She was really cool. Anyway, this part of the story, this part of the plot, the game starts getting really, I don't want to say confusing, it's just tough to remember it all, because you start, you know, as the game progresses, you find out that you're being injected with this drug, Kronos, which basically, it allows you to, I don't know if it, like, allows you to see the future, or if it allows you to relive your life back in another time. I don't understand exactly how it works. From what I understand, it allows you to see the future, which is supposed to be represented by every time you die and it rewinds. It's like you're having a vision of what would have been if you weren't on this drug. But as a result, the drug turns you into this crazy super soldier. And as the game goes on, you find out more and more about it. You find out more and more about yourself. And of course, like, one of the things they talk about in the game is the Cro-Mag War. And you keep having that recurring dream with the hut, with the little kid and the scientist dashing in and getting shot. And from that point on, from like the third or fourth day, whatever it is, that fourth mission or so, the game just, the story seems simple in the beginning, and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's awesome. I can't recommend it enough. It was a short game. I think you can probably, even if you're really bad at it, which I'm not great at it, but even if you're really bad at it, I bet you could beat the whole game in about 7 hours. But what's cool is there are some unlockable things, and you can, there are some hidden things in the game like hidden different swords you can unlock and stuff. So after you beat the game, you can go back and play the game with a number of these other swords, which all do different stuff. There's like a prism sword and a, you know, a giant claymore, and each one of them does different stuff. It's pretty fun. I found out after I beat the game there are like secret bosses, and it's and then, you know, the ending, I know we've talked about the ending for the other games at length, but since this one is not a full, really like a full-blown episode, I kind of don't want to ruin it for you. If you haven't played it and you like indie video games and you've got the means by which to play this game, I would give it a whirl. It's really fun. The ending of the game, it's challenging. It takes a lot of skill and a lot of repetition. It's similar into Hyper Light Drifter in the way that you have to die, learn what you're doing, go back. Now, with a new approach, try to execute that. It was really fun to play. There was some really cool sequences in there. There was one sequence where you're like, I forget if you're escaping or you're chasing somebody, but you're on like a motorcycle. It's kind of the only part of the game that's like this, but you're on a motorcycle going left to right, and there are all these mobsters also on motorcycles, like trying to surround you and shoot you, and you're like swinging your sword and hitting the bullets back at them and knocking them off the bikes. And in the meanwhile, you're speeding by the city while the sun, I don't know if it's setting or rising, but there's like this golden sun, you know, kind of just baking the city behind you while you're doing this. It was a really cool, really fun sequence. It was also really cool because it kind of broke up the game, you know, gave you like this little part of the game that was different than the rest. It was really fun. And then there becomes, there's another part of the game where, as the plot unfolds, you get to play one stage or one segment of one of the stages, I can't remember, as like a different character that was also a warrior. And that warrior has a little bit different ability than you do, so it was really, it offered like a new skill for you to use in order to go through and like take out your enemies and stuff. So it was really fun. It was really, really cool. And like I said, there's a lot of replay value, because after you finish the game, if you look up anything that has to do with the game, you find out that there are a couple of ways you can finish the game. There are some hidden things you can do. There's a hidden boss. There are hidden challenges. There are different things that you can do. You know, one of the stages, you're going through the stage and there is a character that talks to you via TV. You're like in a warehouse and this character comes on the TV and starts interacting with you. And then as you progress through the stage, the character keeps showing up and keeps interacting with you while you play through the stage. But apparently there's a way in that stage to get through the stage without ever interacting with that character, which makes the stage completely different. So there's a lot to explore here in a relatively small game. One thing I wanted to talk about was the music. The soundtrack is synthwave and composed by, I'm going to say this name wrong, Ludovic, L-U-D-O-W-I-C, Ludovic, I'm not sure, and Bill Kiley. The music, really, like I said before, was really just this perfect atmosphere. It just contributed to the gameplay, contributed to the pace, contributed to everything. It was perfectly placed. It was really well done. It was really cool and enjoyable. It was, you know, some games you start playing, like even some of the bigger games I've played, like I've played, you know, like Dragon Quest, I think 11, which is like this epic RPG game, and it's fun and I like it, but sometimes the music, it's just the same music over and over. And in this game, it had similar music at parts, but there was no part where I'm like, turn this fucking track off. It was just nothing. It was very seamless. It all worked really well together. So mad props to those guys for picking the right music for this game. It was awesome. And then the ending, I won't specifically give anything away about the ending, but I'll just say it's very clear from the ending that there's more to come. There's a lot more to come. And there's got to be a sequel to this game, because this game was awesome, and that story left a lot open for a sequel to come out of it. So again, can't recommend this game enough. Katana Zero, fast-paced, It's a lot of die and repeat, but it also functions in a similar way to like Celeste or to Super Meat Boy, if you ever played that, where you die, but boom, you're back at the beginning of the stage right again to run through the screen again. So it's very, you die a lot, but you also, you don't spend much time dead, if that makes any sense. It was a lot of fun to play. It was very satisfying to play. The price point is really low. I think it's only $19.99 or something like that. You might even be able to get it cheaper. It might be $14.99. I'm not sure. But Katana Zero, I'm kind of bummed I played this alone. I think this would be a game it would have been fun to talk with about somebody. But, you know, given the circumstances and not being able to play that other game I had planned for the month, it was cool to play this, you know, by myself and just have a quick game that I could play that was also fun and has some replay value. So Katana Zero from OSCEsoft, published by Devolver Digital. Absolutely awesome. Really fun. If you like those types of games, definitely check it out. Or even if you're just looking for something new to play that's not like a huge commitment, this is right up your alley. Really fun. At least YouTube it, search it out, take a peek at it. It's a really fun game. The gameplay is on point, and I think you'll really love it. So before we go and end Indie Video Game Month here, there were a few games that I wanted to play that, you know, I had on a list of games that I had played, and these are some games that if you're into indie video games and you're just looking for something to play, give any of these types of games, any of these games, if you look them up on YouTube, if you search for them, I feel like any of these games would be really fun depending upon what you're looking for. Bastion and Transistor, these are two games that are from a game company called Supergiant. From what I've read, people seem to like Bastion more. Bastion is more of like an action game, whereas Transistor is, it's an action game, but it's kind of like a strategy action game. I don't know how to explain it. It's not straight up an action game. There's a little bit different mechanic to it, but the, you know, each one of these games is super fun. I personally liked Transistor more, even though I feel like the majority of people maybe like Bastion more, but the art style on both of them was awesome. I would highly recommend these two or any of the other ones I'm going to talk about. Shovel Knight, if you grew up with a Nintendo or a Super Nintendo or a Genesis, Shovel Knight is like a perfect throwback game with a lot of, you can upgrade your armor and you can upgrade different things in the game. It's a 2D platformer and it's really cool. Shovel Knight is awesome. I think they've made 4 or 5 sequels to it since then. Really fun. It's an old school. It reminds me of the kind of game I would have rented from the video store when I was a kid and played and been like, wow, this game was awesome. I didn't know anything about this game. It's right in the vein of like a classic Nintendo or Super Nintendo or maybe Genesis game. 2D action platformer. It's great. There is Enter the Gungeon, which I have not finished Enter the Gungeon, but Enter the Gungeon is like a top-down it's a top-down shooter, and you can get, it's got that Borderlands vibe where you keep getting like crazier and crazier weapons, only in Enter the Gungeon it's more, you die a lot and it takes a long time to beat because you have to go through the gungeon a bunch of times to accumulate good weapons for your team to be unlocked before, you know, the better the weapons, the better you do in the game. It's a tough game. It's a real challenge, but it's a lot of fun. It's very addictive. I played it over and over and over. Still haven't beaten it, but I got to the final boss one time. Enter the Gungeon is awesome. Like, there was one time when in terms of, like, the weapons, you get very wacky weapons in the game. Some of them are just guns, shotguns, pistols, whatever, but some of them are ridiculous. You get a t-shirt cannon, and you're firing t-shirts at your enemy, or you, literally, it's like a pistol, but on the end of the revolver instead of a barrel, it's a literal barrel, a wooden barrel full of fish. So you're shooting fish in a barrel, but you're shooting these blue fish like bah, 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 like a machine gun, and they're flopping all over the screen, hitting your enemies. Really cool. There's a beehive. You're just running through, shooting bees out of a beehive at your enemies. And my favorite one that I found so far is a... it's clearly a Gibson Flying V electric guitar. And you get that, and you run into the room, and you just... you start shooting music notes at your enemies in four directions all at once. So, and you can play from four, choose from four or five different characters. So Enter the Gungeon's really cool. A Short Hike, I played that. I haven't finished it, but it's really fun so far. Really relaxing, very simple. Worth checking out. Binding of Isaac is another game, just like Enter the Gungeon. I think it's a little easier, but very similar. Every time you play the game, Enter the Gungeon is a roguelite. So is Binding of Isaac, where the game is a little different every time you play it, or completely different every time you play it. Basically, the stages change, and they're procedurally generated. So every time you play it, it's a unique experience, but it's very fun. I never used to like that kind of stuff. I never used to like those types of games, because when I play games, I want to be able to talk to people about it and have a shared experience, if that makes any sense. So when you play a game like that, it's kind of like you can't talk about, oh, in stage one, remember that part where blah, 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 because everybody's experience with the game is going to be different, right? But it's grown on me quite a bit, and Enter the Gungeon, A Short Hike, Enter the Gungeon and Binding of Isaac are both like that. Another one that's like that is Neurovoider. You play like a robot kind of, I don't know how to explain it. You basically play like this robot that you can upgrade, and you dash through these stages and blow up all these other enemies. I've never even come close to beating Neurovoider. It's really hard, but I love it. It's really fun. Talked about Short Hike, talked about Binding of Isaac, Super Meat Boy. If you guys liked any of the stuff we talked about with Celeste is like a 2D action platformer. It's brutally challenging, but it's got a really great story. Super Meat Boy is what came before Celeste, but it's a little different, where it's far more cartoony, and it dives headlong into how over the top it is. You're a little chunk of meat dashing around the screen, trying to save your girlfriend, who's a bandage, from, I forget the evil character's name in the game, but he's a fetus that walks around in, like, a glass tuxedo body. And it's really, like, it's got, like, a heavy metal kind of soundtrack. It's super punishing, super challenging, Super Meat Boy, really, really great. There's also The Messenger, which is similar in a way to Katana Zero, but there's more to it. It's a little deeper in terms of the story, and there's a really cool twist, and The Messenger is more, you know, more ninja dashing around type stuff, but it's different than Katana Zero. It's really cool. Messenger is really highly recommended. And of course, Cave Story. If you've never heard of Cave Story, it was originally a free game that now you can download and play. You can get it on Nintendo DS. You can get it on Switch. It's available at a bunch of different places. Very similar to like a Super Metroid, but with kind of more of a story with characters to interact with. And I really enjoyed Cave Story as well. And keep in mind, those are just the games that I played. Bastion, Transistor, Shovel Knight, Enter the Gungeon, Hollow Knight. Oh, I didn't even talk about Hollow Knight, which I still haven't finished. But super challenging, super punishing, super tough 2D Metroidvania-style game. Really hard. Haven't gotten more than like 10 hours in, but it's really fun. Hopefully one day I'll be able to put some time aside and finish that one, but that's another one I forgot to mention. Hollow Knight, excellent game. A Short Hike, Binding of Isaac, Super Meat Boy, The Messenger, and Cave Story. Again, those are just the games that I had played that were on the list. There were some other games on the list that I had not played yet that I wanted to get through. Off the top of my head, Iconoclasts, Guacamelee 1 and 2, Owl Boy, you know, there were a bunch. So those are some other indie games to check out. If you guys enjoyed Indie Game Month, any of those ones I told you about are great. Some of those other, the last four I mentioned there, I had not played yet, but they looked cool and I really wanted to give them a try. And you know what? A lot of people responded really well to this Indie Video Game Month. So who knows, maybe in a couple of months we'll come back and we'll do another one. If this many people respond to it as well as they did, you know, why not do another one, right? So before I go for the month, I just want to thank my guests for the month one more time. From the podcast Controller Freak, we had Aaron Madison. I had a ton of fun discussing Hyperlight Drifter with him. And, of course, my boys from the podcast Movies in the Buff, Brett Bolton and John Dreyer. Had a blast, as always, with those guys. Played Child of Light with John, played Celeste with Brett. Had a lot of fun discussing those games with those guys. And please be sure to check out their podcasts. Controller Freak and Movies in the Buff are both available on all major podcast streaming platforms. So go give them a download and a listen. I listen to both of those shows. Not every episode, because sometimes they're talking about stuff that I don't want spoiled, right? So I don't listen until I've seen the movie or played the game or whatever. But go show those guys some love. They have great shows. Give them a download. If you love it, rate, like, and subscribe. I know they'd appreciate it. And I just want to say it's been great. I just want to say it's been great to have the podcast back this month. You know, Spectacular Show was gone for a long time. It's good to be back. We hope you guys will keep coming back. And we will be back next week. I'm sorry this episode is a little shorter and then it was me just by myself. So I'm sorry this episode wasn't as involved or as deep as some of the other ones are. But, you know, we'll be back next week. I hope you guys will tune in then. And before we go, the last thing I wanted to say was I just wanted to give some shout-outs to people that are, you know, downloading the podcast from all over the country, all over the world. But specifically, we've got a lot of people that are downloading. We had Russia, we had Ireland, we had Switzerland, and in the USA we had people from Portland, Oregon. We had people from San Jose, San Francisco, Anaheim, Denver, Kansas City, Wichita, Dallas, Houston, Chicago, Raleigh, Baltimore, Newark, New York, Philly, and Boston. So thank you guys. We appreciate it. Please keep coming back. Please keep listening. We love that you love it. We love that you listen. And we really, really, really appreciate it. And we will be back next week. But until then, we love you. We miss you. We really want to kiss you. We'll see you next time. Bye, 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 bye. And you're like, oh, shit, the subject just died.